Hi everybody and welcome back. In today's video, I wanted to talk about something that I think we've lost on ourselves as far as conversations go. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic is still something that remains very effective in people's lives and is influencing the way people work, the way people live, what they do with their own personal health decisions, their minds, their bodies, their masks. And I think in the constant ever-changing news cycle, we've lost out on the COVID-19 conversation. And a powerful video that I've had the chance to see this past week has opened my eyes to even myself forgetting to talk about this every now and then. Let's check out this video. But before we get into that, if you like what we do on this channel, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a new video for you guys because we love making the content and we hope you guys like it too. Now, this video popped up on Twitter. Taylor sent it over to me. He's often the source of all my stories and things that I talk about is Taylor Trandall. and this is a video of a man by the name of Clifton Duncan, talking about his experience with the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's affected his life, his career, and just his worldview in general. Let's watch.
No. Because it reminds me of a life that I've spent the past 2 years trying desperately to forget. I've been trying to forget it because the contrast between what my life was and what it is now, to be completely candid, often drives me to despair. So now I'm staring down the barrel of 40 years of age. I no longer reside in the city formerly known as New York, a place I called home for a decade and a half. I wait tables for a living, something I hadn't had to do since I was 22 years old. I no longer have a powerful manager sending me auditions for lucrative, high-profile, life-changing projects, and I no longer have the prospect of earning a five-figure weekly salary working in TV or on Broadway. And so now the prospect of paying off all those NYU loans, maybe even starting a family, have become even more distant dreams. I'm now shut out of the entertainment industry. I have few marketable skills because I never needed them. The few skills I did work on centered around acting and singing, skills which are highly valued in New York and Los Angeles, but which, as you might imagine, have very little value outside of the arts and entertainment sector. I feel as though I'm starting over from scratch and must learn things that most adults my age, many of whom have families and other weighty responsibilities, have mastered.
I just want to pause before he even gets into the reasoning why this is happening to him and say this is very sad. And like, there's no other word to say that. That I can't imagine being in that position as an adult who's given all your time and your effort to a certain specific passion and to have that all crumble in front of you and to be left with, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Here I am, a grown man in the United States of America without marketable skills, as he says. So terrifying.
And so you may be asking yourself, well, what the hell happened? Why have I gone from having a billboard with my likeness on it in the middle of Times Square, winning standout notices in the New York Times and guest starring on network television to where I am now? Well, it's quite simple. I refuse to allow any employer, or by extension the government, to act as my healthcare provider and to dictate what I inject into my body. I refuse to be bullied or coerced or shamed into taking a medical product that I neither want nor need. I've been extraordinarily vocal in my opposition to what I view as grotesque and egregious state overreach into private affairs and personal freedoms. Indeed, even if things were to magically return to normal tomorrow, I'm greatly disturbed by the precedent which has been set, wherein government officials and bureaucrats can take it upon themselves to determine who is essential and who is not, to decide who gets to operate their business and who does not, and in some cases decide who's allowed to travel and who is not. I mean, we're still winning tennis tournaments, so, you know, what are you gonna do about that? Now, part of the mission of the Mises Institute is to promote individual freedom. As an actor, I was trained to be a conduit and a vessel for both the splendor and the tragedy of the human condition. And as such, I'm also a staunch advocate for the freedom of expression and a firm believer in and champion of the irrepressible fire and vitality of the human spirit. As an artist, well, I can appreciate form and structure. I also value nonconformity, especially when it challenges an increasingly square and constrictive status quo. And so, although I've paid a price, I'll never regret standing up to and forcefully saying no to a repressive, nonsensical, unethical, and ultimately unnecessary encroachment on our freedoms.
Pause. Man, so many questions and things buzzing through my mind as I'm watching this right now. When did the artists become the people who wanted to impose their worldview on others? When did they become the ones who were imposing regulations and restrictions? At what point did we make that flip in our society? At what point did we become the ones who were saying, oh no, we're open, lead your life the way you want to lead, and I'm skeptical of the government, and I'm skeptical of the institutions. When did that become us? And for this guy to say, you know, this, much like he mentions tennis, much like a Novak Djokovic said, you know, this is the hill that I will die on. And I don't care if it cost me my career. I don't care if it cost me the success that I've built so far. You don't get to tell me that I have to do this. And you certainly don't get to tell other people what they need to do with their bodies and with their health. And to lose all that in the wake of doing it and to still stand strong when you very easily could just give in to the temptation of having everything that it is that you had before is a beautiful thing. Kudos to this guy.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Rod Dreher's book, like Live Not by Lies, and Solzhenitsyn, who just championed this idea that there are things worse than like keeping your life in a totalitarian system. Mm-hmm. Or it's worse to acquiesce and like, you know, lose your soul and lose your freedom. And then to lose your job, yep, from standing up. And but that's much easier said than done. And that's why I think this video is so powerful, because this is somebody who's like, I went from having my face in Times Square and mentions in the New York Times and being a successful Broadway actor to waiting tables. Mm-hmm. That's the price I paid to stand up for my freedom. And that is a powerful thing. And I think there are a lot of, it's just, we've seen, it's insane to me that because of so few people have had that courage, that's how we got to the absolute mess that was the pandemic and how it was managed. And, I think right now we're in a stage where it's like, we're all just so relieved that most of the restrictions are gone and all the debate around it is over. But like, it was such a crazy time, and it is scary how it just shows you how totalitarianism comes in. And it's, if not for people like this, I think we'd be there.
Yeah, we so easily move on from things too. People are still being directly affected by this, and we've just basically moved on as a society and just gone, oh, well, thank goodness I can go back to leading my normal life. And yeah, there's this idea, so I hope I state this right, but I was at a conference called ToSCon a few weeks ago, and it's a meeting of objectivists, big Ayn Rand fans, objective morality, all that fun stuff. And there was a guy who went and spoke about something called essentialism, which is basically honing in on your interests, your passions, what it is that you want to do to the fullest extent. And if that's something that is only marketable in LA and New York City, like acting and Broadway and singing, then, and that's what you want to do, you go for it, and you take the dream that you have in your mind, and you just run for it 100%, and that's clearly what this man did. But outside of that, to do the same thing with your beliefs and value system is insane, and it's something that most people are not capable of doing. And just based on these words alone, obviously I can't speak to who he is truly as a person, I don't know him, but based on these words alone, he's decided, you know, I'm going to pursue everything to the fullest extent, both my passions and the things that I want to do career-wise, and my value system and my beliefs. And that's much like what we've seen with Novak. I love to use him as an example, because he's somebody who has accomplished the same in tennis and with values. And we could all learn a lesson from people like that in everything that we do in our lives. Like, pursue who you are as a person, or at least who you believe yourself to be and who you want yourself to be, and channel that and follow that to the fullest extent that you can, and you will be rewarded for it. I mean, he's talking about a lot of struggles that he's going through as a person right now, but I maintain that his life is going to be very beautiful just because he simply made the choice to stand up for his beliefs and his value system. He doesn't go to bed tonight depressed over the choices that he's made, I don't think. I think he can sleep soundly, whereas a lot of these people who just decide to walk all over you, tell you what you can do with your life, and expect you to just bear the burden of whatever it is they believe you should be doing, they're going to have a lot of inner turmoil at the end of the day. So I wanted to highlight this video. Any final thoughts, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting thought about the essentialism. And these are Novak and Clifton is his name.
Yeah.
Are great examples because they're both people who did go all in on their passions and did reach the top. But when the rubber met the road, they stood by their convictions. And I think in your life, you will at some point be driven to a place where you'll have to choose between, you know, something I've worked very hard on and my success, or something I want very badly, and sticking to my values. And I think they're both testament to the fact that sticking to your values is more important. And I think in the long run, even if you give up your soul, you know, like Jesus said, what good is it if you gain the whole world but forfeit your soul? Mm-hmm. And one way of looking at that is in this context of, you know, if you forfeit your values and your identity, your integrity, so that you can maintain some level of success or in a different domain, but you're sacrificing your values, and then it's not worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it. You lose yourself, and who are you really? And you're not going to be able to sleep soundly at night, like you said. But in the long run, if you sacrifice all things that you've built or whatever, or career or whatever it may be, because you refuse to give up on your values, you will be happier. And I tend to believe that things will work out for you in the long run, regardless.
Yeah, I do think so too. And even if they don't work out in the physical sense of you don't have the life that you dream that you had, it works out in the moral sense, and just you being able to know, oh, okay, I've stuck to my ethics, and at least, I have a bit of integrity, which for an industry like Hollywood, it's so devoid of integrity anyways. You know, this is the perfect example of a person, because Hollywood is the pinnacle of just selling yourself for fame and for following and for elitism, and to have all that at your feet and go, you know what? Oh, but I still have my morals here, and I'm not going to grab what's at my feet for the sake of, I don't want to lose what's in my hands. And that is a very, very beautiful thing. Clifton Duncan, if you see this, you're invited on the show. Maybe I'll send him a message on Twitter, and I would love to interview him and talk about what this whole process looked like for him. And because it's probably an ongoing process for a lot of people who are still continuing to have to make these decisions, whether or not it's in the United States or abroad. This is a continued discussion for many people that I think we've just forgotten about. So I wanted to share what is a very powerful video with you guys today. Comment down below and tell me what your thoughts are on this particular video, what he's done, and is COVID-19 still affecting your life in any way, shape, or form? Your job, your family, your kids, their school, anything that you can think of. Drop it down below and give people a little reminder of what continues to happen in this country and internationally. Guys, if you like this video, like what we had to say, or didn't like what we had to say, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a new video. And again, drop that comment down below. How is COVID-19 still affecting your life? We'd love to hear from you. See you guys.